The Trader Cobb Crypto Show, talking business in blockchain.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Trader Cobb Crypto Show. Today, I've got an amazing guest from a different part of the investment world, one that I've had a lot of involvement with over the years, and a lot of things I'm looking forward to speaking to this gentleman about. It's Michael Yardney of the Michael Yardney Podcast and CEO of Metropole Property Strategist. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Michael.
My pleasure, Craig.
Now, mate, you've done a hell of a lot more than I've given you credit for in my very short and brief description or introduction on yourself. Mate, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself, because I know you've done a huge amount. You've written books, you mentor, you're in property. If you could just give them a bit of an understanding for what you're doing, what you've done, that'd be awesome.
Well, it's easy because I'm going to be 66. Actually, I think that's the first time I've said it out loud next month. So I've had a long history. I first got involved in investment in my 20s, and I've made more than my share of mistakes in my investment life, in my personal life, in my business life. But I've got up one more time each time, and I've actually built a very successful business that has educated and mentored, but actually helped more than property investors than probably anyone else in Australia. We've been involved in over $3 billion worth of property transactions. We don't sell property. We help our clients buy property, and we've got a very substantial property management department looking after close to $2 billion worth of assets for clients. And over the years, I've mentored over 2,500 people in my mentorship program. So I've seen some who have been successful, some who haven't. And I've written 8 books, as you say, and my Michael Yardney podcast is giving me lots of pleasure putting together and my property update daily blog. That's a lot, mate.
Tell me about it, mate. If I was your age, I'd be taking my foot off the pedal. It doesn't seem like you are. So congratulations for a wonderful career, and long may it continue as long as you desire to actually do something other than go fishing and play golf, mate. So all the best.
Well, my wife gets up she retired 10 years ago, and she gets up 3 or 4 days earlier than me each week, and she plays golf. That's her game. I'm still having fun, Craig.
Well, as long as you're having fun, that is the main thing. And we'll get to the psychology of success throughout this show, definitely, because that's one thing I really want to touch on there. Now, obviously, you've been doing a lot within property. You mentioned that the Metropole Property Strategist, there are different areas that you have expertise in. I mean, when it comes to property investment, and look, obviously my audience is big in crypto. Now, I know you're not big in crypto, but what I'm getting at here is that my strategy for this is that we're going to see a huge amount of growth in the next few years. Now, what we want to have is a diversified portfolio, no matter what it is you're looking for, whether it be looking at stocks, whether it be looking at property, whether it be looking at stocks, property, and crypto, no matter how you're going to invest, diversification is always a key when it comes to that. So investing in the markets, taking profits from that, moving it into other spaces is always a good idea. Now, for somebody who's coming into property and has never been there before, when looking for an investment property, what are some of the things that somebody new should be focusing on?
Well, first of all, most people think they know a bit about property, Craig, because they've lived in a house, they either own a home or have rented. But that doesn't mean you understand property investment, and that's why most property investors fail. So I guess the first message is, while property investment may be simple, it's not easy. And that's not a play on words. It's simple if you follow the rules, but it's not easy because most people get it wrong because they let their emotions ride. They buy close to where they live or close to where they want a holiday or where they want to retire. Knowing your local neighborhood is not understanding property investment. It doesn't mean you understand the interplay between economics and demographics and interest rates and finance and law and tax. So first lesson is get yourself educated, but be careful who you learn from, because there's lots of new people out there trying to take advantage of the wave of new beginning property investors. So get a good team around you as well. It's not something you can do on your own. You don't have the perspective when you first start off. Craig, the statistics show that 50% of people who buy a property as an investment sell up in the first 5 years. And those who stay in, only 90% end up owning more than 2 properties. So most property investors fail. That's not a reason not to do it. It's a reason to get good advice, Craig.
Mate, so tell you what, it's, considering we are from 2 different investment pools right now, I'm saying the exact same thing. Your education is everything. If you want to do something, you better learn how to do it. And who better to learn from than somebody who's made the mistakes like I have, like you have? We're sort of got an even keel after stuffing up enough. That's why people can learn from us. So when it comes into property, obviously we look at this asset class as being a much more high cost entry point. Is that a myth? Can you still get a good investment? And I'm talking 5 to 10 years, or, you know, it's like wealth creation strategy. Obviously, there's yield plays that we're looking for, good rental and that sort of thing. But is there still good opportunities out there where we don't have to go out there and spend stupid amounts of money like on the Sydney property market?
Well, first of all, the benefit of property is that you can leverage, you can borrow somebody else's money. So if you've got good income and also your investment property is going to give you income, then the banks will lend you up to 80%, even today in this funny environment, because the banks are money shops. They do want to get money out there. But I guess another important lesson is not every property is an investment-grade property. Any property can be an investment. You kick the landlord out, you put a tenant in, it's suddenly an investment. But investment-grade is one that outperforms the averages with regard to capital growth and rental return and stability. So my strategy is only to invest in the big capital cities, which is where the bulk of the economic growth is. That's because that's going to lead to jobs growth, wages growth, and people being able to afford to own their properties and keep their properties, because the majority of the market's owner-occupiers. So when we think like investors, we want to find a property that's going to appeal to a wide range of owner-occupiers, but also have a level of scarcity. That's going to mean it'll hold its value. It's not volatile like the share market or like the crypto market. So to answer your question, yes, there are opportunities. You don't only have to invest in Sydney, but I'd rather own an apartment, even a one-bedroom apartment, in a great location than a whole block of land out in an outer suburb or a regional town that won't do well, because it's the location, Craig, that's going to do the bulk, probably 80% of the heavy lifting of your investment.
I'm going to say location, location, location. There we go. It's out of the way. We've got that done now. So look, coming aside from property, because I know that you mentor a lot of business people. I know that you've, you know, you're not just a one-trick pony, so to speak. And there's nothing wrong with being a one-trick pony. Let me just make that very clear. Specializing in a certain sector, a certain industry, or a certain expertise is advisable, definitely. But you've spoken to many people, and you've done many more things than just property. What would you say is being something really important to consider when making an investment, not just property, any investment?
Well, the reason I've diversified is because, like you, I recognize that if anyone just says do property, property only, or just do crypto, they've probably got something to sell you. So I agree with you that to become successful, you've got to build an asset base. So crypto, share trading, businesses in general, bring your cash flow in. And then if you look at the BRW Rich 200 list, or I think it's now called the Australian Financial Review Rich 200 list, it actually is a theme amongst all the successful people there, that they take their money out of their businesses and invest it in property if they're already not in the property business. So in my mind, an investor's job is to build a large asset base. And that's one of the successes I've seen. You asked the question, what's happened? How have I seen a common thread amongst these successful people? They've actually built themselves an asset base. So in the future, they've got some choices. And then we don't know what the superannuation rules are going to be in the future, what the tax rules are, whether we're going to be able to have negative gearing, what our tax rates are. But if you've got a big asset base of income-producing properties or shares, then you'll have choices. And if you don't have an asset base, you won't have choices. And it doesn't look good in the future for those who aren't going to be looking after themselves, Craig.
No, I couldn't agree more. Education is key, and building something long-term, not just thinking short-term, which is, I think, something that the crypto community can be very guilty of. Certainly, it's an immature and very impatient space, and we need to develop that out. Speaking of, when we talk about investments in the limited supply, I mean, you were talking about just a moment ago before that question about, you know, you'd rather have a one-bedroom apartment in a capital city because it's the location that's going to do the heavy lifting. Well, to make a similarity, when we talk about location, there's so much amount of land in a certain city, let's say, or even a country. It's not infinite. We know how much land there is. We know how much usable land there is. We know how much desirable land there is, okay? And zoning laws, yep, zoning laws can change, but the land that they are on does not change, and it doesn't usually go too crazy. So we do have a limited supply of good property. So therefore, buying smart is very wise. And it's just the same as Bitcoin in a way. Just to relate the two, there is a limited supply. There will be no more than 21 million Bitcoins in the world. Well, we know how much land we have on this planet right now too, and it ain't going to change too much aside from tsunamis, global warming, and the odd volcano that might crop the odd island up here and there. So quite interesting that the same rules of investing in property apply to investing in everything. It's a supply and demand type thing.
It is, Craig, but if I could point out that not all land's created equal. while my understanding is that all Bitcoins are created equal, I'd rather own a tenth of a block of land under an apartment in Bondi or Coogee or Richmond in Melbourne or one of the better suburbs in other states than a whole acre of land in Darwin or Alice Springs. So not all land's created equal. That makes the difference.
Absolutely. And not all crypto tokens are created equal either. So it's
showing my ignorance.
There you go. It's the education. I've got stuff to teach you, mate. I've got stuff to teach you. There's actually, I tell you what, look, I've got a lot of friends that are big developers in Sydney and different parts of the country. I'm talking very, very large amounts of money. And I've got some guys that are a bit smaller as well. Now, these people are using the power of Bitcoin within their funding options. You see, it's opening up different funding opportunities. You can send money very clearly across borders, and all legally too. I'm not talking about doing anything shady. I'm just talking about fast transactions. And I know that a lot of these people are using them within funding options for developing all around this great country of ours. Interesting little side note there, that Bitcoin and development are working in tandem in many, many cases. So there you go, something new for you to consider there, Michael.
Yes, I've got to learn about it. And you're right, education is the key, and the world is changing very fast. But it's not only education about the asset classes, it's actually education about yourself and personal development. And I know that's one area that we do share in common. And one of the things that I've noticed is changed my success when I realized that the world, the economy, the other things won't change. And when I stop blaming others, the world, my upbringing, my parents for my failures and the things that went wrong, when I started taking responsibility and when I started working harder on myself and learning that I was in charge, I was going to be the pilot of my life, not just a passenger being dragged along, that's when everything changed for me, Craig.
I tell you what, that's the perfect segue now to move into the second part of what I want to discuss, which is the fact that you're an expert on the psychology of success. Now, we talk about this in my courses and what I do and in my teachings, and I'm sure you do as well. I've mentored a lot of people over the years in trading, not just crypto trading, but in trading in general. And one of the lessons that I have in my teachings, or you know, basically we share experience. That's what we do, and we help people to learn from the experiences that we've had. Is exactly that. It's taking responsibility. You know, a leader is the person who says, "Hey, look, you know, you see people in business, and they go, 'It wasn't my fault. It was my manager.' Well, hang on. It's your fault because you put the manager there. It's either poor training, poor management, whatever it is. It's down to you. When you take responsibility for your own actions, the position that you're in becomes a shifted psychological barrier that might be lifted entirely. If you think you can't, you're right. If you think you can, you're also right. The difference between can and can't is doing. And you've spoken with a lot of people about working on creating the best of them. So let's touch on that. What are some of the findings that you've had over the 2,000 plus people that you've mentored? Is there anything they all have in common?
Well, no, because I've mentored some successful people and some unsuccessful people. But I guess the thing that the successful people have in common is they take action. Currently in the property space, there's a lot of uncertainty. There's wondering about the Melbourne and Sydney property market going down a little bit. There's thoughts about the Labor government coming in and Bill Shorten's idea about changing negative gearing and capital gains tax. There's uncertainty about the future economic environment. And so the average person gets consumed by this and doesn't move forward. But those who took advantage of the slight downturns this is the third downturn in property in the last decade. This is the current one in Melbourne and Sydney now, one in 2010, 11, 12. A while ago when interest rates went up, one in 2008-09 when the global financial crisis started to rear its ugly head. And those people who actually took a long-term perspective and took action while others sat on the sidelines, they're the ones that have been successful. So one of the traits of successful people is they take action. And the other, it really has a lot to do with mindset. So whether it's trading, whether it's Bitcoin, stock shares, or investing in property, because I don't recommend trading in property, it's too expensive and too lumpy, or business, successful people have a different mindset and they have habits. And a lot of this happens at a subconscious level. And so I've written a book with Tom Corley, Rich Habits, Poor Habits, because he spent lots of time studying in America, the self-made millionaires and poorer people, his clients. He was a CPA. And we found that successful people have habits that they've learned as a child. And as an adult, 80% or so of what you do is at a subconscious and unconscious level. You just keep doing the same thing over and over again because of things you saw, things you heard, or things you experienced as a child about money, about relationships, about all things in life. So you've got to first of all become aware of what you're doing, why you're doing it, and replace some of those unproductive habits, those habits that are not pushing you forward, the poor habits, with rich habits.
Right. What does a rich habit look like? I mean, if we've got to get rid of the poor habits would be maybe being lazy, eating badly, not exercising, doing, you know, drinking too much, doing drugs. I mean, these are all pretty common poor behaviors. So we kind of know what a poor behavior is. But what is a positive behavior that can yield positive outcomes?
Well, it's interesting. This is an important question because many of us are parents or are going to become parents or grandparents. And so your behaviors are not only going to affect you, but affect your kids, just like your parents' behaviors affect you today. Because I remember when I grew up, my parents used to argue and fight about money. It didn't, the budget didn't meet at the end of the month. So people learn things like dirty money, filthy rich, rich people are greedy. And if you want to become a good person, if you believe you are a good person, but you have somehow in the background heard that rich people are bad or greedy, driving around with one foot on the accelerator and one on the brake, you want to move forward, but you've got these unconscious things in the background pulling you back. So rich habits include regular learning, regular education, and regular reading or listening to podcasts, but not learning and reading for entertainment. So it's not on YouTube or Netflix, but improving yourself. It's actually having a positive mental attitude and thinking positively rather than negatively. It's actually surrounding yourself with good people, because it's often said you're the sum of the five people you hang around with the most. So getting rid of the negative people and hanging around with people that think more positively. It's actually giving back to the community. And really, you'll never become rich, you'll never become wealthy unless you're grateful. In fact, I've learned a long time ago that rich people are quite poor because all they've got is money. So true wealth is not how much crypto you've got, how many properties you've got, how big your share portfolio is. You've actually got to have money plus love, somebody to love, family, friends to like you, money plus health. No use having all that money if you're sitting in the hospital. Is money plus the ability to grow and learn. This is a theme that keeps coming back. Money plus the ability to give back to charity and the community. Money plus spirituality. So there's a lot to it. And there's about 200 habits that we've outlined in our Rich Habits book. RichHabitsPoorHabits.com is a great way of finding it. But because you don't have to have them all though, Craig. What you've got to do is see what habits you're currently doing that are holding you back and just change a couple of them. Another rich habit is actually keeping your body healthy. It's important to keep your body healthy because it's the vessel that controls everything.
Mate, I couldn't agree with you more. There's some really wonderful tips on that. I mean, one of the things that that I talk about a lot to my, I guess, my following, the people that I work with and everything, people say to me, why are you doing this? If your strategies work so well, why not just keep them to yourselves and do it for yourself? And it's a fair question. Why would you go and start another business? Why would you do this? Why would you do that? And it comes back to, there's two things in life. There's money and there's true wealth. Like you say, the people that have lots of money and that's all, I feel sorry for them. If you're motivated by money and money alone, you're probably going to end up quite lonely. The people that I know that are focused completely on money, I don't know them for very long because they tend to be quite self-centered. Now, true wealth is doing what you love. Look, don't get me wrong, people that are listening. I run my businesses to profit. I don't do it to lose money. But in saying that, there's a part of me that needs to be doing something. I enjoy what I do. I choose what I do. And for me, true wealth is having the choice to do what I wish to do. And if my choice is to spend a lot of time building businesses, trading, sharing my knowledge to the greater community, then that's my choice. And I'm going to stick to it because I've got that ability to choose. Now, it's not easy getting to that point. There's a lot of sacrifices. Now, coming back to you, Michael, and your mentoring and psychology of success, I think one thing we sort of were leaning towards before is the individual based on the habits and the upbringing that they've had. We do see in trading as well, massively, I've dealt with this, is a huge amount of self-sabotage. We might get to a certain point and then something crops up and we can't break through that glass ceiling. Do you have any tips or tricks or routine strategies to try and overcome that inner voice that we might not hear clearly in our conscious mind but act subconsciously by listening to it?
There is something called the imposter syndrome that a lot of people just don't feel worthy. They feel that they're going to be caught out, that they're more successful than they deserve, and other people will find out. Once a year, I have a high-end $10,000 five-day closed retreat, wealth retreat on the Gold Coast, where a lot of already very, very successful business people, entrepreneurs, and investors come to mingle in a small community and to keep growing. And a lot of these people are already what others would consider very, very rich, very successful. Why would they waste their time, others would think, learning, keeping going, doing this? And it's interesting when you sit down with them and we dig into their psychology and the mindset, these people who to others would already seem so successful, they all still have the self-doubts. They're all still driven by a level of uncertainty. They all have their ceilings. So the reason people sabotage themselves as investors and as crypto traders and as business people is usually because they don't feel worthy of it, because I believe everyone's got their own financial thermostat. So Donald Trump, love him or hate him, he's set for billions. And if he was a millionaire, he'd feel poor. The average Australian's thermostat is probably set for thousands. And so there's a lot of people who, if they suddenly come into a windfall, they get a good trading profit, they make a bonus at work, they win the lottery or get an inheritance, they squander it. And that's because their financial thermostat is set at a particular level. And this is what holds them back as traders as well, in my opinion, Craig. I believe if you took all the money in the world and distributed it evenly, it'd be back in much the same proportions in, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And that's because we have this own level of comfort. And if we get above it, we lose our funds. So I guess the first step of stopping sabotaging yourself is to recognize these unproductive, poor habits and then go back and work out why and then replace them. And it's just too hard to do on your own. That's where you do need coaches. That's where you do need mentors, because we've all got blind spots and our mentors see our blind spots, Craig.
Yeah, it's one of the beautiful things, and I'm sure that you've seen this through your mentorship and who you've mentored. I mean, I've been fortunate that I was mentored by some of the best entrepreneurs in the country as a kid, just because my dad built multi-million dollar homes in Noosa Heads, and these were the people that were building those homes. So I was introduced to them and got to work with them, like on their buildings and speak with them. And I was running businesses from a very, very young age, so we had a lot in common. And one of the questions that I would ask to each of them was, you know, at what point did you take your business from, say, a $2 million business to a $20 business, $20 million business? What changed? And the collective answer seems obvious now, and it's very well publicized, but it's when more or less the same answer is when you take yourself out of working in the business and you start working on the business. Now, it makes perfect sense because you stop being caught up in the day-to-day and you can actually see what's going on and you get this level of perspective. A lot of people in business just can't let go of their babies. Now, that's what a mentor brings, is they bring that outside point of view, an unbiased, unemotional, tell it like it is. This is what's up. This is what you've got to work on. Here are your issues. You can take it or leave it. But why not take it from somebody who's actually qualified to talk to you about it? And this is why it's so important to choose your mentors, to choose the people working with you that are in your team. So, so important to have the right people around you to give you the perspective that you're willing to respect. Now, Michael, have you had many people over your career that you give them fantastic pieces of advice, but they're so caught up in their own, it's usually self-doubt masquerading as importance. This is called ego, where they just won't listen because they think they're right?
It's interesting. Of course, the answer is yes, Craig, because it's interesting how humans act irrationally, particularly when it comes to money. Just on your point of mentors, we all have mentors. Sometimes you don't realize it. So true. If after work you go to the pub and drink with your mates who run down rich, wealthy people and tell you not to invest, not to trade, they are your mentors. On the other hand, successful people pay for mentors. They're prepared to do it. And some are virtual mentors. They do it over the internet. They do it through courses and through podcasts and blogs. And some are face-to-face mentors. So one of my big changes in life, I think, has been probably 15 years ago when I first started having business coaches, and I still have, and I spend over, it's actually close to $200,000 a year on mentoring and coaching today. But I see it as an investment. I actually don't see it as a business expense, because my return on my money, on my mentors and on my business coaches who help me, is actually paid back so, so much more. So I've got an open mind and I'm prepared and I'm coachable, but I know that some people are not. And you're right, a lot of it has to do with ego, but most of that actually comes from an inner self-doubt, the exact same thing we discussed a couple of minutes ago, Craig.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? We all have people in our lives that impact us, and never has there been a truer word said when it is, you know, show me the five people you're closest to and I'll show you what your future looks like. I really, truly believe that in a very, very big way. Now, one more question regarding the success or the psychology of success. You said there's 200 things that you've sort of narrowed down. You've written a book on it, and that's fantastic. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners will go ahead and go and check that website out, buy that book, and do all of that. But is there any one most important attribute that successful people have that we all must take on board, develop, learn, or just have it become a part of who we are before we're going to have that clear path? Is there any one thing you can pinpoint or have pinpointed over the years that successful people have or do?
Well, we've already spoken about the fact that they take action. So that's the most important one. I guess the other is they subscribe to the school of thought that they're in control, that they determine their lives, while the majority of people actually believe that they're not in control of their life circumstances. So those people who belong to school of thought number one, they think that there's no one out there, no higher power. They're not talking about spirituality or God, but they don't think there's anyone else guiding them or making them happen, make things happen for them. They believe that success, wealth, failure, poverty are manufactured. They know that their actions they take today will be the causes of the effect they get in the future. We all know we've got a future, and in my mind, that future isn't predetermined. So everything you do today or choose not to do today will cause a result in the future. So the circumstances of our life are dictated by our decisions, by our behaviors, by our choices that we make. So in fact, the school of thought of successful people is they create their own destiny. But there clearly is a school of thought, a group of people who believe they're not in control of their circumstances, that some higher power, and it's not necessarily religious or spiritual, is looking after them, but they believe that success, failure, wealth, poverty is outside their control. And so therefore they feel powerless over the course of their life. And they then think, well, no use me doing this. And they think the rich people are lucky. Mm. And maybe it is true. They are lucky to a degree, but they've created their own luck by having the self-education and by getting up one more time after they've failed, by having resistance, resilience, perseverance. That's their very, very important traits of success.
Well, look, it's been an absolute pleasure delving into a bit about property and diversification across asset classes, but also I've been fascinated by a conversation about psychology and the key to success. And thank you so much for your time, Michael. Michael Yardney, podcast you guys need to get across. And Michael, where would they find more information about you? Where should they be going to find out more about what you do?
I have a daily blog at propertyupdate.com.au, and I'm actually very proud of it because it's been voted as the world's, not Australia's, the world's number one real estate blog by a number of sources. And there's a whole lot of people, experts, guest experts who write about success, personal finance and real estate. So it's not just property. So propertyupdate.com.au. And thanks for mentioning the Michael Yardney podcast. I talk about all these things as well.
Excellent. Well, mate, you're an absolute wealth of knowledge. You've got many years of experience, not to say that you're old, because 66 these days is not old. You're as old as you feel, in my view. It's been a great chat. I appreciate you sharing a bunch of information with the listeners, and I wish you all the best in the future. If there's anything I can do to help out, please do let me know. So, Michael, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, Craig.
All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
The Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. Check out TraderCobb.com because experience matters.